We'll now turn to our witnesses. Mr. David Bladick, professor and faculty director of the Center of Privacy and Technology at Georgetown Law and former director of the Federal Trade Commission and Bureau of Consumer Protection. Welcome. Ms. Maureen Olhausen, am I saying that right? Okay, good. Olhausen, partner and section chair, Baker Botts, former acting chairman of the Federal Trade Commission. Mr. Ashkan Soletani, who's joining us remotely, an independent researcher and technologist, but former chief technologist for the Federal Trade Commission. And Mr. Morgan Reed, president of the App Association of Washington, D.C. So welcome to all of you, and we'll start with you, Professor Bladick.
Well, good morning, Chair Cantwell and Ranking Member Wicker, and I was going to say other members of the committee. I'm sure they'll file in. I'm David Vladek. I'm a law professor at Georgetown Law School, and as the chair mentioned, I'm former director of the Bureau of Consumer Protection at the Federal Trade Commission. I strongly support the legislation before Congress today. It would provide funding to the FTC to create a new technology-centered bureau to safeguard your constituents' privacy and data security. This proposal builds on the chair's 2019 privacy bill, which also calls for a new technology bureau within the FTC. I support the legislation because it will begin to rectify the chronic underfunding and understaffing of the Federal Trade Commission. It started in the 1980s when the FTC's budget and staff allocations were literally cut in half. Since then, as both of you have mentioned, the nation's gross domestic product has grown exponentially, and the FTC now enforces more than 50 additional laws than it did back in 1980. But today, the FTC is significantly smaller, both in terms of staffing and funding, than it was in 1980. As best as I can tell, that is not true for any other federal agency. And because federal budgets are based on prior year appropriations, the FTC is still lagging far behind its sister agencies, including, among others, the SEC, the CFPB, and the FCC. But unlike other agencies, the FTC pays for itself. The FTC almost invariably, year after year, returns more money to the federal treasury than it gets. Why? Because FTC civil penalties, including, for example, the $5 billion penalty the FTC imposed on Facebook, go straight to the treasury. $5 billion would pay for more than 15 years of the FTC's budget. If the FTC were a company, we'd all want to buy stock in it, because it always generates more income than it spends. I urge you to pass this legislation to give the FTC the tools that it needs, desperately needs, to fend off and punish privacy violations and other digital harms, from internet scams and data breaches to dark pattern manipulation and ransomware attacks. Without more resources, especially more technologists and engineers, the FTC will simply not be able to stem the growing tide of attacks on privacy and other digital harms. As a result, the cost to the United States will continue to vastly exceed the sums proposed in this legislation. Not enacting this bill would be penny wise and pound foolish. I know that some on this committee think that funding and the creation of a new bureau should await federal privacy legislation. I respectfully disagree. Your constituents are at risk today, and that risk grows as privacy-averse business models grow. Just read the Washington Post today about all of the internet-enabled tools in one's household that are all collecting enormous amounts of sensitive information over which your constituents have little control. Both of you talked about data breach. Well, identity theft is essentially predictable debris of an internet economy that doesn't really care about data security. We still are plagued with data breaches. So the FTC is really the only privacy cop on the beat. It's time that Congress gave it the tools it really needs to be in this fight. So thank you so much for inviting us here today. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Professor Vladek. Ms. Olhausen, thank you for being here.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Chairman Cantwell and Ranking Member Wicker and the other distinguished members of this committee for the opportunity to testify at this important hearing examining how to protect consumer privacy. As you've already noted, I'm Maureen Olhausen. I'm a partner at the law firm of Baker Botts, and I also had the pleasure of serving as an acting chairman and commissioner at the Federal Trade Commission, our nation's leading consumer protection agency. As the collection, use, and sharing of personal data has continued to grow, the FTC is reaching the limits of its current tools, and consumers and businesses are increasingly required to navigate a tangle of confusing and often inconsistent privacy requirements from various levels of government. And to safeguard consumer privacy in today's environment, Congress needs to enact a comprehensive national privacy law. And that's why it's paramount that members of this committee return to the bipartisan negotiations conducted in the previous Congress. A new law should have several components. First, legislation should provide consumers clarity and visibility into companies' data collection, use, and sharing practices, as well as choices regarding these practices calibrated to the sensitivity of that data. Second, legislation should provide a national and uniform set of protections and consumer rights throughout our digital economy. Third, it should ensure strong enforcement that protects consumers from harmful data practices while allowing companies to provide innovative products and services that consumers want. Now, although some have raised the possibility of the FTC undertaking a privacy rulemaking under its current general unfair and deceptive authority, I'm concerned that a potential FTC privacy rulemaking may actually distract from focusing on achieving these key objectives through legislation. And there are several potential problems with an FTC rulemaking. First, the scope of an FTC rulemaking under the agency's current UDAP authority is much more limited than what Congress can achieve statutorily. For example, the requirement of access and correction rights for consumers, which we've seen in a number of proposed bills, is likely not supportable under the FTC's current general authority. And some of my fellow panelists have acknowledged the limitations of the FTC's current authority in their testimony. Second, an FTC rulemaking may not preempt state laws and regulations, even conflicting state requirements. Thus, an FTC rulemaking could simply produce a 51st set of privacy requirements rather than a single national framework that applies no matter where consumers live, work, shop, or visit. And this would lead to even more consumer and business confusion and a fragmenting of consumer rights. And it would also be particularly burdensome on smaller firms that lack the resources to deal with such regulatory complexity. Third, Congress put significant limitations in place for FTC UDAP rulemaking, absent specific guidance to the contrary. Now, where Congress has enacted specific privacy laws, such as in the areas of children's privacy and credit reporting, it has given the FTC notice and comment APA rulemaking authority to implement clear statutory direction. Absent such clear statutory guidance and streamlined rulemaking authority, the FTC must proceed under the more deliberate Magnuson-Moss process, which will slow the implementation of consumer protections that are widely supported by Congress. Now, there's no question that a strong privacy law needs to include strong FTC authority to protect consumers' rights. A single federal privacy law that gives the FTC more enforcement authority will dramatically strengthen consumer protections. And it should authorize the FTC to fine companies for certain first-time violations and, in certain cases, to issue rules to keep up with developments in technology. It should also give the FTC more resources. State AGs should be given the power to enforce any new federal law. And a consumer privacy law, though, should not include private rights of action with punitive or statutory damages that would primarily benefit lawyers and result in class actions that provide little, if any, relief to actual victims. Giving the FTC specific authority to provide consumer redress would be an effective way to enable consumers to be compensated directly and promptly when companies engage in harmful data practices. So thank you again for the opportunity to testify today, and I look forward to working with the committee and all stakeholders to craft strong national privacy legislation.
Thank you very much, Ms. Olhausen. Now we're going to hear remotely from Mr. Ashkan Soltani, independent researcher and technologist, former chief of the Federal Trade Commission.
Hello there. Can you hear me all right?
Yes.
Perfect. Chair Cantwell, Ranking Member Wicker, and members of this committee, thank you for inviting me to appear today. My name is Ashkan Soltani. I'm a researcher and technologist, formerly chief technologist at the FTC. Since departing FTC, I've helped support state-level privacy and tech enforcement, both as an expert and through my involvement through Georgetown Law, where I'm a distinguished fellow at the Institute of Law and Policy and the Center of Privacy and Technology. I also helped author California's landmark privacy laws, the CCPA and the CPRA, Prop 24, which California voters enthusiastically passed last year. I've seen firsthand the challenges in crafting and enforcing laws that constrain bad behavior in the current digital ecosystem. I'm pleased to be invited as Congress and this committee are considering significant changes to the structure and funding of the FTC. The proposal to create and fund a new bureau at the FTC is a strong step forward at providing the commission with new resources it needs desperately to effectively protect consumers in the digital economy. A new bureau focused on technology and data protection would help the FTC support its mission of policing unfair and deceptive trade practices related to privacy, data security, identity theft, and data abuses. I've submitted my written testimony for the record, but I'd like to highlight three key points which I hope will inform the discussion today. One is that the FTC is critically under-resourced to oversee the nation's myriad of privacy and cybersecurity issues. With a bare-bones staff of about 40 attorneys and a handful of technologists, their resources pale in contrast to their counterparts in other countries. The German DPA, for example, has 745 staff and nearly 100 tech experts enforcing their law for a country one quarter the population of the US. Similarly, France, which has one-fifth our population, employs nearly 200 staff, including 30 tech experts. The resource problem is exacerbated when businesses choose to litigate a case rather than accept a settlement. By some accounts, litigation can occupy one-third to one-half of the Commission's entire privacy division on a single matter. That's half of the entire federal privacy staff working on one case for years at the exclusion of other critical work. Similarly, the FTC's Bureau of Enforcement is tasked with overseeing compliance with all of the hundreds of FTC's consent decrees, in addition to a myriad of obscure laws relating to, for example, made in the USA and textile labeling. The same lawyers who ensure that social media companies have robust privacy and data security programs are also making sure the labels on bed linens are correct. In fact, many of the big tech companies which this Congress is presently concerned with, such as Facebook, Apple, Google, and others, are already under consent decree with the Commission. But the FTC has limited resources to adequately monitor that these firms are complying with the terms of their order. One former FTC enforcement staff has publicly stated that the FTC rarely even reads third-party assessments provided to it. Additionally, the FTC doesn't need just more resources, it needs the right resources. Technology and data pervades nearly every aspect of today's online marketplace. Data security, data abuse, identity theft all have one thing in common: technology and the underlying data they rely on. Narrowly constraining the new bureau to solve only one of those problems, privacy, would fall short of the consumer protection goals laid out by FTC and this Congress. I suggest Congress support the creation of the Bureau of Technology and Data Protection. This may seem like a small point, but names do matter. As I said before, most of the harms don't concern just privacy, but data abuse. I've long advocated for the creation of a new Bureau of Technology with the mission and expertise to investigate harmful practices across the technology ecosystem. This new bureau would provide a hub of resources that would serve across the agency's many consumer protection missions, incentivize collaborations, and encourage efficiency, similar to how BE functions cross-division. Alongside the funding, Congress should take steps to ensure that the Commission hires a wide range of staff to this bureau, outside of just traditional lawyers, economists, and even technologists like myself. Importantly, the agency should hire statisticians, UX designers, social scientists, and behavioral researchers, such as experts on child development, who can guide the complex cases that come before them across a myriad of technology issues, such as dark patterns, manipulative design, and algorithmic discrimination. Finally, in addition to more resources, I support my panelists' call that the FTC needs additional legal authority to meet the challenges of the digital economy. While expanding the Commission's budget is a great first step, this Congress should complement that funding with additional privacy authority so that the agency can fulfill its mission. This is why it's critical that this Congress pass federal privacy legislation that builds upon, but does not preempt, privacy legislation adopted in states like California and Colorado. I'm happy to go into what attributes of such legislation should look like, but based on my experience in California, but most clearly is the ability to allow experimentation in the states as we seek to find the appropriate approach to this complexities of the digital ecosystem. Thank you for the opportunity to testify today. I'm excited to work with you all on helping to solve these challenges.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We'll now hear from Mr. Morgan Reed from the App Association, who is here in person. Thank you.
Chairman Cantwell, Ranking Member Wicker, my name is Morgan Reed, and I'm the president of ACT, the App Association. We're a leading trade group representing small software and device companies in the app economy, a $1.7 trillion global sector that supports roughly 5.9 million jobs here in the U.S. I'm here to share the perspectives of App Association members, many of which are in your states, on the need for strong federal privacy laws and enforcement. And when I say in your state, I'm not doing some kind of hand-waving blanket gesture. I'm talking about real companies. Chair Cantwell, in Spokane, we have Mighty Call, which provides a cloud-based communications platform for small businesses to connect teams remotely. In Starkville, we've got Buzz Ambassador. They provide a management platform for brands to use ambassadors promoting a product across social media. And in my written testimony, there are examples for every single one of your states and in every single one of the districts in this country. We change the way we're doing business today, whether it's farming, education, communication, and sometimes just having fun. These companies rely on consumer trust much more than large companies with brand recognition, and privacy is the leading factor. According to Pew, 63% of consumers say they've deleted an app due to privacy concerns, and 65% cite trust in brand as their number one consideration when deciding whether to allow access to their information. My member companies are small and can't buy a Super Bowl ad to create brand awareness. So when we try to reach customers through the app stores, we rely heavily on the trustworthiness of the ecosystem and the marketplaces within. The Federal Trade Commission and this committee play an important role in maintaining that trust by maximizing consumer protection while fostering growth in the economy. To better protect consumer privacy, we urge you to take these four considerations into account. Number one, Congress should set the scope and purposes of the FTC enforcement authority and resources on privacy. The existing regulatory framework for the FTC does not have the tools to deal with the more complex data and privacy questions that arise. The rest of the world has surged ahead of the U.S. on these questions. When Europe instituted the GDPR, it was clear the U.S. would have to act, if just to harmonize. But now 16 other countries have national privacy laws matching GDPR, and as Ranking Member Wicker noted, there's 100 more countries with some form of national privacy law, and the U.S. still has nothing. The FTC needs better privacy tools based on the risks data processing activities pose to consumers and the expectations that people have about its use. It's up to Congress to set forth the overarching purposes and specify the limits on FTC rules. Failure to act hurts American citizens and American competitiveness globally. Number two, if Congress doesn't act, we've seen how FTC is forced to stretch their authority. The FTC's recent effort to use breach notification to cover unauthorized sharing is an example how the FTC has to cobble together a solution in the absence of congressional action. Just like Tom Hanks' character in the movie Castaway, using ice skates to open coconuts, the commission is settling for the tools it can find rather than the right tool when it proposes to enforce a breach notification rule as a privacy law. But we are not on a desert island. Congress can and should make the right tools for the job. Number three, Congress should produce one national privacy framework. The single most important policy decision Congress can make to combat existing and future privacy harms is to enact comprehensive privacy legislation that grants strong consumer rights to the citizens of all 50 states simultaneously. A patchwork will make it hard for small businesses like mine and comparatively easy for big companies with 100 lawyer compliance departments. In short, preemption is essential to the success for the little company. And number four, Congress should avoid antitrust measures that prohibit some of the most important platform-level privacy controls consumers and app makers rely on today. Big companies doing business on the app stores, Epic Games and Spotify and others, have their own big brand, and some of them don't want the app stores to manage the platform. However, we urge you not to undermine trust in the app economy with bills that would prevent key privacy protections my members rely on to bring consumers to market. To be clear, we're not opposed to, and in fact support, the FTC vigorously enforcing the law on privacy and on unfair methods of competition. For example, on the competition side, the Commission has the opportunity to clarify the applicability of its UMC authority to standards essential patents. Anti-competitive SEP abuse harms consumers and small businesses and competition alike, and this is an example of where the FTC guidance can help. But ultimately, the economic health, education, and frankly, opportunities for growing new businesses created for our, in our country depend on a robust and appropriately funded FTC. Congress needs to get this right, and they need to do it now. And without it, we're left with giving the FTC a pile of money, and they're going to end up spending it on additional ice skates to open coconuts rather than the tools that they need to solve the problems that we face today. Thank you.